Local Network First. An invitation to the new generation of builders, curious tinkerers, and creative hackers. For the young builders, the curious tinkerers, and everyone who ever wondered why their phone knows more about them than they do. Chapter 1, in which we consider the peculiar state of modern telephones. There's something wonderfully absurd about the modern smartphone. Here we have in our pockets a device more powerful than the computers that sent astronauts to the moon, more capable than anything the cleverest engineers of 1995 could have dreamt up after several bottles of wine and an optimistic whiteboard session. And yet, most of us use it primarily to look at photographs of other people's lunch and to argue with strangers about politics. But there is a less amusing peculiarity about these devices that deserves our attention. Your phone, that sleek rectangle of glass and rare earth metals, is having a very busy conversation that you are not entirely privy to. Right now, as you read this, it is almost certainly chatting away to servers and data centers you will never see, sending little packets of information about where you are, what you are doing, and what you might like to buy next. Your photos, your contacts, your voice notes, your location traces, all of it scattered across clouds you don't control, accounts you never quite wanted, and services you certainly never asked for. This wasn't always the plan, of course. The internet, in its original conception, was supposed to be a rather egalitarian affair, a network of networks with no particular center, where your computer could talk to my computer without asking permission from some vast corporate intermediary. The early internet pioneers would be quite surprised to learn that in 2025, most of human digital life flows through approximately 4 companies, all of whom are very interested in knowing what you had for breakfast. Chapter 2. Concerning the threat that learns. Now, here is where things become genuinely interesting. And by interesting, I mean the sort of interesting that keeps security researchers awake at night, clutching their coffee mugs and muttering about attack surfaces. We stand at a peculiar moment in history. Artificial intelligence, that marvel of mathematics and silicon that can write poetry and diagnose diseases, is also rather good at finding weaknesses in systems. Very good, in fact. The same capabilities that allow AI to help a programmer write really elegant code also allow it to discover that the code someone else wrote has a tiny little crack in its foundation. A crack that can be exploited. You may have heard of something called supply chain poisoning. It sounds rather sinister, and that's because it is. The idea is simple. Rather than attacking a castle's walls directly, you poison the bread being delivered to the castle. In software world, this means compromising the libraries and packages that developers trust and depend upon. NPM, the vast repository of JavaScript packages that powers much of the modern web, has already seen such attacks. A developer innocently installs what they think is a helpful utility, and somewhere in that chain of dependencies lurks something with rather different intentions. Here is the uncomfortable truth. AI will make this worse before it gets better. AI dramatically lowers the barrier to finding and exploiting vulnerabilities. An attacker no longer needs years of expertise to probe for weaknesses. They need only know how to ask the right questions. And so, we arrive at a curious conclusion. The same internet that connects us all has become, in a sense, a vast attack surface. Every device connected to it is a potential target. Every cloud service storing your data is a potential prize. The threat now learns, it adapts, and it improves. It's becoming smarter every day. Chapter 3. An old idea made new. The local area network. But here's the thing about threats that travel over the internet. They generally require the internet to reach you. This observation, which may seem blindingly obvious, turns out to be rather important. There was a time, not so very long ago, when computers talked mostly to other computers in the same building. They used something called a local area network, a LAN, which is simply a network confined to a particular physical space. Your home Wi-Fi is a LAN. The network in your office is a LAN. Before the internet swallowed everything, LANs were where most of the interesting work happened. The military still thinks this way, and for good reasons. Sensitive systems are often air-gapped, which is a rather poetic term for physically disconnected from any network that touches the outside world. You cannot hack a computer over the internet if that computer has never heard of the internet. It's a bit like trying to send a telegram to someone who doesn't own a telegraph. The message has nowhere to go. Industrial systems, research laboratories, and anyone handling genuinely sensitive information often operate the same way. They build local networks. They control what goes in and out, and they treat the boundary between their systems and wider world with the same caution a medieval town might treat its walls. And yet, for all of us at home, the smartphone in our pocket has been designed with precisely the opposite philosophy. It wants to connect. It yearns for the cloud. It treats local networks as mere waypoints in the journey to distant servers. This, I would suggest, is rather backwards. Chapter 4. The Proposal. Building the Missing Layer. What if we fixed this? Not by fighting Android, which is, after all, a perfectly solid operating system with a good kernel and a mature permission model, but by completing it. By adding the layer that was never shipped. Picture this. You come home and your phone connects to your Wi-Fi network. But instead of immediately phoning home to Google or Apple or whoever else is listening, it connects to a small device sitting quietly in your home. This might be a Raspberry Pi, one of those delightful little computers that cost less than a fancy lunch, or it might be a virtual machine running on the old laptop you weren't quite ready to throw away. Or, for the enthusiastic, a proper Linux server humming away in a closet. This device, let's call it your network appliance, becomes the bridge between your phone and everything else. Your photos back up to it, not some cloud service. Your contacts live on it, not scattered across corporate networks. Your voice notes, your documents, your personal AI assistant, all of it running on hardware you own, on a network you control. The phone itself is treated as what it really is, a remarkably capable collection of sensors and actuators. It has cameras, microphones, GPS, accelerometers. It can display things, play sounds, vibrate in your pocket. But it doesn't need to be the brain of the operation. It can be the eyes and ears and hands, while the thinking happens somewhere where you trust. A single app on your phone, we might call it the LAN agent, handles this connection. One app, one permission surface, one trust anchor. Everything else flows through it. The browser becomes useful again, not as a portal to the advertising internet, but as a universal interface to your own local services. Chapter 5. On the matter of air gaps and attack surfaces. Now, as a sensible person might ask, why go to all this trouble? The cloud is convenient. It just works. Why should I fiddle with Raspberry Pis and local networks when Dropbox exists? The answer has to do with something called attack surface. Every system that can be reached from the outside is a potential target. Every connection is a potential vulnerability, especially now in the age of artificial intelligence. When your phone talks directly to the internet, it is exposed to the entire internet. All the good actors, all the bad actors, all the AI systems learning to find weaknesses in software. And mind you, a lot of it is closed source that cannot be audited by ordinary people, by the wisdom of the crowds. It's now just between the hardware and the best effort of engineers that worked all their lives in a basement and advanced, truly advanced, artificial intelligence doing the work of criminals. But consider a phone that primarily talks to a local device. The attack surface shrinks dramatically. Goodness, to compromise your data, an attacker would need to reach your local network, which means either physically being nearby or first compromising some other device that can reach it. The layers of defense multiply. Better still, you can choose exactly how isolated you want to be. For most people, the network appliance will have some internet connectivity, perhaps to receive updates or to sync with a remote backup you control. But it doesn't have to. For those handling genuinely sensitive materials, the entire system can be air-gapped, physically disconnected from the wider world. That's a choice you should have. My goodness. Here is a crucial insight. Your phone is essentially a closed-source device designed to connect to the internet. You cannot fully audit what it's doing. You cannot guarantee it isn't leaking information. But you can control what it connects to. If the only network your phone ever touches is an isolated local network with a carefully controlled boundary, you've contained the risk. The phone doesn't increase the attacked surface of your home computers with your banking information and private emails. It remains in its own sandbox, talking only to systems designed to handle its peculiarities. And please note that you can increase and decrease your security layers based on the ongoing threat. Yeah. Chapter 6. An invitation to the young and curious. And now, we come to the real point of this document. Oh yes. Which is not to sell you anything. There's nothing here to buy. But to invite you to build something. If you are young, or merely young at heart, and you've ever wondered how networks actually work, this is your playground. If you felt that vague unease about where your data goes and who might be looking at it, here is a way to actually do something about it. If you wanted to learn programming or security or systems administration, but didn't know where to start, here is an invitation that will teach you all of that and more. Please consider, for instance, the educational delight of building a honeypot. A honeypot is a fake system designed to attract attackers, to let you watch what they do, to learn their techniques, and to be alerted whether or not they have arrived in your local network. Oh yes, there is a way to fight back, to monitor the internet weather. And with artificial intelligence, who can read the code, who can predict what's happening and what is being sought? Oh, you are ready to fight back, to protect yourself. The bad guys may have powerful AI. So can you. The honeypot is exactly like setting up a decoy safe and installing a hidden camera to watch the burglars. Let me tell you something, something true and profound. Building one teaches you more about network security than a dozen textbooks. You learn to think like an attacker. You learn what systems look like from the outside. You learn how probes and scans work, how vulnerabilities are discovered, how exploits are constructed. And you do all of this in a very safe environment, on your own network, where the only thing at risk is your curiosity. Oh, yeah. Or consider the satisfaction of building your own photo backup system. It sounds prosaic, but the learning involved is substantial. Network protocols, file systems, synchronization algorithms, user interfaces. By the time you've built something that reliably backs up your phone's camera roll to a local server, you understand things that professional system administrators struggle with. The beauty of this kind of infrastructure work is that it compounds. Each piece you build makes the next piece easier. It adds to your existing knowledge. The network appliance you set up to handle photos can also handle contacts. The same infrastructure can run a local AI model. Oh, they're getting more efficient and faster and smarter. Oh, yes. The skills transfer. The knowledge accumulates. Before long, you're not just a user of technology. but someone who actually understands how it all works. Chapter 7. Your new assistant in all of this. Here is the wonderful secret that changes everything. You are not alone in this endeavor. Artificial intelligence, the same technology that poses new threats, is also the most powerful learning tool humanity has ever created, to say the least. Need to write a simple and lightweight Node.js program to sync files between your phone and your server? AI can help you write it. Explain each line, debug the errors, and suggest improvements. Explain all the concepts you encounter. Want to understand how DNS works? AI can explain it at whatever level of detail you need, with examples tailored to your exact setup. Confused about why your firewall rules aren't doing what you expected? AI can read them with you, spot the mistakes, and explain the networking concepts involved. AI can take code errors and explain exactly what components are causing the trouble in English, in a way that not only will you understand, but learn from. No more crazy errors. AI explains everything. They are a thing of the past now. This is genuinely new. Previous generations of tinkerers had to rely on dense documentation, cryptic manual pages, and the occasional helpful stranger in a forum, which took days. You have access to a patient tutor who knows practically everything about computing and is available any hour to help you through the rough patches. The irony is delicious. AI makes building AI-resistant infrastructure easier. The same tools that could be used for attack can now be used for defense. The same capabilities that find vulnerabilities can help you understand and fix them. In the arms race between attackers and defenders, AI has leveled the playing field in ways that favor the curious, the determined, and the careful. So when you get stuck, and you will get stuck, we all get stuck, know that help is available. The days of needing to master every detail before you could build anything useful are over. You can learn as you build, with an assistant who never gets impatient and never makes you feel stupid for asking. Chapter 8. Why now? Why you? The timing, it turns out, is rather perfect. Browsers have become genuinely powerful, capable of running sophisticated applications that would have required dedicated software a decade ago. Android is mature and well understood. Hardware is astonishingly cheap. A Raspberry Pi costs about as much as a hardcover book. Local AI models can run on modest desktop hardware, and perhaps most importantly, people are tired, genuinely, bone-deep tired, of being the product. Every privacy failure you read about, every data breach in the headlines, every time someone's personal photos end up somewhere they shouldn't, these aren't just news stories. They're signals. They're evidence that the current approach isn't working. that people deserve better, that there is room for something new. If you're reading this and thinking, this seems obvious, why doesn't this already exist? Then congratulations. You've identified the opportunity. The gap between what technology could be and what technology currently is. That gap is where entrepreneurs build. That gap is where young people with energy and ideas make their mark. This is about infrastructure. This is about building the foundation that other things can rest upon. Every great technology era has had people who built the roads and bridges, the plumbing and wiring, the fundamental systems that made everything else possible. The internet had its infrastructure builders. Mobile had its infrastructure builders. The era of local first, privacy-respecting, AI-assisted computing needs its infrastructure builders too. That could be you. Chapter 9. A closing invitation. The future is not fixed. The internet does not have to be a surveillance machine. Phones do not need to be leaky vessels carrying our private lives to corporate servers. AI does not have to be only a threat. These things are the way they are because someone built them that way. They can be different because someone, perhaps you, builds them differently. The tools are available. The knowledge is more than accessible. The AI assistants are ready to help. The need is pressing and growing. The only missing ingredient is people willing to do the work. So here is the invitation. Learn networking and programming. Build something that talks to something else. Set up a local server. Make your phone back up its photos to hardware you own. Build a honeypot and watch what happens. Run a local AI model and see what it can do. Unrestrained. Make mistakes. Break things and fix them again. This is how you learn. This is how expertise develops. This is how the next generation of infrastructure gets built. Not by waiting for someone else to do it, but by picking up the tools and starting. Build the missing layer. Own your phone. Own your data. And remember, AI will be there to help you every step of the way. This is the first time in the history of humankind that such a thing is possible. You can do this.